want you to think, and I want you to go back to, well, I'm going to turn to Matthew 27 quickly here in verse 50. You have to go back before we get into the portion that Paul read. What happened on Good Friday? And, you know, that time between 3 and 6 o'clock is in the afternoon is when the Lord died. Remember, they took him and they roughed him up big time while he was there before Pontius Pilate, even before that time. But remember, even by Thursday evening, the day evening before that, the Lord's Supper, his disciples had fled from him. He was all by himself. Remember, Peter denied him, looked at him. If you ever get alone with the Lord and you read that passage about Peter denying Christ, oh, it makes me weep and cry. It had me crying. I was thinking, Lord, I don't want to be like Peter, but I know I've been that way sometimes. I've denied you. You know, my actions and what I do. I say, well, wait a minute. Pastor is saying behind the pulpit he's denied Christ. Oh, if we're honest, we've all denied him. So Jesus is all by himself. Ah, but remember he said in the garden there in Gethsemane when he came to arrest him, I could call legions upon angels to help me. So Christ was not alone. He understood that he was going to die for the world, for you and I, for our sins. It was a free gift, but remember, it's a free gift, and God doesn't push his love on us. It's a free gift. I tell people it's a free gift. So what happened was, is, you know, the Jewish Sanhedrin broke every law for those hours that they punched and they ridiculed Christ. And then, of course, they took him to Pontius Pilate, and I'm telling you this to tell you that. Pontius Pilate is like, oh, I'm going to wash my hands of this guy. He is trouble. And they made Pontius Pilate look like a fool. They took away his manhood, so to speak, because those religious leaders wanted him crucified. So his wife said nothing to do with it. He says, I washed my hands of it. I'm out of here. You take care of him. Pontius Pilate even broke the law. You realize that he took it to his boss, Pontius Pilate, and his boss's boss. And they said, we don't want anything to do with this Jesus either. I wonder why. Why did people want to have nothing to do with Jesus? And what happened was to say, I find that out today. There's some people today that wanted nothing to do with Jesus. I'll wash my hands of it. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'll get angry because a man can't turn into a woman, or a woman can't turn into a man. I'll get so angry that, you know, they did a study on this about transgenderism. They said that they keep on repeating the lie over and over again. These people believe it. They believe, oh, a man can be a woman. I looked at my wife and I was just like, oh my goodness, how can I turn into you? And, you know, I was like, that's just so weird. So weird, you know. God help us as this country. But we need to pray for the transgender movement. Anyway, so Pilate said, I wanted nothing to do with him. So they took Jesus up to the Hill of the Skull. And remember, they crucified him. And remember that he was on the cross. And no one took his life. He gave it up in his own time. And you had those people down there jeering and mocking him. And even Jesus said to his mother, behold, thy mother, told the apostle John, take care of my mother. You know, what kind of love is that? When you're crucified on the cross, could you actually say that? Somebody who you care about? How selfless. Selfless. And it's how the depths of love can go beyond degree or imagination. And if we have any time alone, we should weep on that. Oh my goodness. So, Jesus, here he was, the perfect sacrifice, the lamb that took away the sins of the world. People didn't understand it. Disciples didn't understand it. They fled. And so, they took his body down off the cross. Get to that in a minute. So, and going back to Matthew 27, verse 50, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Twice there were earthquakes in these passages. One is when Christ died, and we'll find out in a minute that there was already a resurrection taking place, and also at the tomb where the stone was rolled away, an earthquake happened then. So there's two earthquakes. Verse 52, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. It means those that were died had rose. Can you imagine seeing here in downtown Oconomowoc, wherever you live, see people come out of the grave? I don't know how it happened. The Bible didn't say how it happened. But they had spiritual bodies, and they would recognize like we are today. We could see them in this dimension. Scientists say there's about 10 different dimensions that there are, the spiritual dimension, and so on and so forth. But it was a physical body, and people could see these people walking through Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? People are like, really? And you know what I found out? And this is old news, nothing new. People don't want to believe in it. They don't want to, and we'll find out here in a minute. And it came out of the graves after resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Skipping down to verse 56, and among which were it was Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of James and Joseph, mother of Zebedee and children. They were beholding Christ on the cross while all this was going on. The earthquake, bodies coming out, walking amongst people in Jerusalem. You know what? Somebody said to me, that is crazy. I said, I believe it by faith. I wasn't there, but I believe the whole scripture. I believe in it. There is a theology that's out. It's called Dalmatian theology. It's been around for years. You probably know about this. Dalmatian theology says, I will pick anything I want out of the Bible and say that I'll make my own Bible. Thank you. I will take Jesus. There are many Jesuses out here. Don't let me fool you. There are many churches here, but let's break it down further. There are many people who believe in Jesus a different way than you and I do today. Isn't that amazing? And just as many a sponsor of Dalmatian dog, remember the black and white dog there. And you know, there are as many people who believe in Jesus or a Bible of a different kind. Fear of those that preach a different gospel. It's called anathema, and it's known too as Paul said that word twice in Galatians chapter 1. It has the idea of being double damned for those people who preach a different gospel. The seriousness, the reason why I'm saying this, I'll say this, and I mean it, that the resurrection's for real. It did happen. And I have to stick to my guns, so to speak, stick to the word. So you have, let's go right into what happened. Jesus is buried. And remember, what the Jewish thought was in those 3 days was the Jews actually believed that the spirit had not actually left the body yet. And you have to believe, too, this is true, that the disciples didn't believe in the resurrection. Nobody did. You know, the only people that were afraid of the resurrection were their Sanhedrin. They were afraid. They even said, look, we need to get some Roman soldiers to guard and put a seal on that tombstone, which was 2 feet wide. In the circumference, it was eight feet in circumference, and it was two tons in weight. So that wasn't enough. We had to put the seal across the tombstone with the signet rings, if you've seen those signet rings. Put that on the hot wax, and if anybody was to break it, it meant instant death. What happened to the soldiers when later on in the story, they fell as dead men? And then they went right back to the Pharisees, and they said, and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, they said, oh my goodness, the body is gone. You know what? We'll make a story up. We'll make a story that since the body is gone, that somebody stole it. Right. They could never prove that. They believe that to this day the body was stolen. The guards were paid. You realize that in the there are four Gospels. Everyone gives the account of the resurrection. And in those sections there, it states that the priests paid off the soldiers a large sum of money. The soldiers could not stay there because it meant heads off. I believe, it doesn't say in the scriptures, but I believe, and we can think whatever we want, speculation, I believe that they were paid off a large sum of money, which they were. It says that in the Gospels. And I believe they took tail and they ran because it was instant death. And they would have had a lot to be accountable to Pontius Pilate, as well as the others in a chain of command goes up. Nobody in politics wants to look bad. They all want to look good. So you know what? We got to deal with this guy. He's got to go. So, well, enough said about that. Verse 1 in Luke 24. Now it came upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, that they came into the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Well, I really believe that those ladies that believed that Christ was still dead, they didn't believe in the resurrection because they took the spices with them. You realize when Jesus died, they had broken all the rules, these religious hypocrites, so they could look good. Basically, that's what it was. So they could keep their job. So they had to wait. The ladies had to wait 3 days to prepare Jesus' body. Because remember, Joseph and Nicodemus, they, and by the way, Joseph, he had to plead for the body of Christ, Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was like, sure, take the hot potato, sure. You can, you want to use your brand new grave for you, Joseph? Go for it. So the body was taken down. It was put in the tomb. 3 days come and go. And I will guarantee you, I woke up a couple times last night, 3:30 and then 5:30 this morning. I couldn't sleep. I was excited. It was like, this is the neatest thing that's ever happened in my life. Oh, if people would know, you know, and all you can do is pray and read, and you're too tired to read, so you just pray and ask the Spirit to guide you and let things happen as He wills. He gives us that desire. And then what happened was, is so they went to the grave to prepare the body. Now, keep in mind, the guys, the disciples, they were scared because once Jesus was arrested in the garden, they fled. Even Peter denied Christ 3 times. So they were gone. They were hiding because they thought if the tomb is stolen, we are in so much trouble because they're going to blame us. We're going to be the scapegoat. We are so in trouble. So they were scared. We don't even want to leave. And these ladies, you had Mary Magdalene, who had 7 devils that were cast out by Jesus. You had Mary, mother of James, who was Jesus' mother. You had Mary Salome of Zebedee, who talked about her sons. Well, who do you think is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Typical mother talk, you know. They want to see their sons. They want the best for their kids. And so they were there at the cross. They were the ones who probably didn't get much sleep. And because they were excited, and they, you know, it happened during the fourth watch, was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And they went running to the tomb. They couldn't wait, which is only not far at all. And they ran. And with the spices, verse 2, says, when they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Now, how did the... We don't have time to get into it, but apparently there were 2 angels always mentioned in the Gospels. One did the talking. And I get this argument over and over and over again. Well, the Bible, there's contradictions there. You have 1 angel in 1 Gospel and 2 in the other. What? Can't these guys make up their minds? It's like, no. I was like, there was always two angels. And so I get into apologetics. I enjoy it, but I try to love people. I don't try to argue with them. If they start dominating the conversation, you know what? I'm quiet. It's like Jesus was quiet with Pontius Pilate. What is truth, Jesus? Jesus already told him what the truth was. And remember, after that, Jesus got real quiet. Because you can't tell people, you know, who think they know everything. Well, anyway, what happened was is that there was a great earthquake. The stone got rolled away. Now, this stone, imagine it, 8 feet across, and it had a little ramp on the side which went up. So, in other words, if you wanted to roll the stone away, you would have to push this, they call it 2 to 4 tons, whatever. A ton is a ton, right? It's like life sometimes is a ton. And you just push that thing up there. There's no way these women could do it. That's just not happening. So the angels did it with an earthquake. The guards, and from the other gospel, said they just fell as dead men. And I think I would too if I saw angels like that in garb, bright light. I'd be like, what? You know, what did I just see? The other day I was driving down the road and I saw two white flashes go by. And I thought, wait a minute, I slow down. This one truck, it stops right down here by the high school. And I looked and was like, think of what I saw. I did see. There were albino deer. Albino deer. There are some albino deer out here. I had to check. I was like, you're kidding me. Neat. I'm glad I'm not seeing things. I hope I'm not seeing angels, you know. They're white. Okay, whatever. It's not going to get into the spiritual domain. So the ladies are there. They're like, oh, wow, you know. And they entered, verse 3, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, in the other Gospels too, quickly, there was two pieces, the head garment and the body piece. The shroud of Turin is bogus because it's just one piece. So remember that. And when people start worshiping things and think that they found something, it's, you know, I'm going to bite my tongue on this. It's usually about the church and about the money, unfortunately. They have people coming in there. You have to pay to get in there. And also, too, it's encased. That's great. But they think that the church apparently has part of Christ. And that's why I believe God does not want artifacts and things laying around, because people end up worshiping them instead of the true God. Amen. So we have the Bible here. That's good enough for us. We have the Holy Spirit. That's good enough for us. So there's a lot of idolatry going around today. People don't see it. So there they were. And verse 4, and it came to pass, and they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood with them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said to them, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Isn't that great? Thank God death, hell, and the grave were defeated. Isn't that wonderful? When you go to a funeral, as the saying goes, Jesus never did a funeral. He resurrected Lazarus. He's going to resurrect us one day. There's a few other resurrections that happen in the Bible. Some people also in the Old Testament, they were taken to be with God. They didn't die, like Elijah, and there's a few others. God just took them, you know? And God can just take us. And that's good enough. Because I know if anything happened to me, told Kimberly, and anything happened to her, I'd be rejoicing. Because I know they're in a better place. So, thank God for that. And it's interesting, too, that one of the church fathers had wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. This is around 20 AD, and he had mentioned in there about the resurrection. And this one guy who was reading the scriptures didn't believe it. He goes, you know, I can't believe this because I just don't understand it. And He goes, I don't understand the Bible because there are women in there. You realize they didn't trust women back in those days? They didn't. They put them on a lower scale, unfortunately, and that was the disciples' fault. They didn't believe it when those ladies came back and told them, hey, this is what's in Christ. The body's not there. What happened to it? They were perplexed. Is it that he's risen? Jesus had spoken about that. Matthew 16:21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Don't you get it? Well, what happened was Peter and John, they heard when the ladies came back, they were like, oh, we better go run and see what's going on. They run back. And at the same time, you have Mary Magdalene, which is part of that group, she starts coming back to the tomb too. You have to understand, Peter and John ran ahead. And they looked in, and they looked in the tomb, and they're like, oh, he's not here. Well, they must have stolen the body or something. They didn't believe it either, and they went home with their heads down low. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes we can be faithless too, but you know what? Thank God. Thank God he shows his faithfulness to us every day. Don't be discouraged, people. I can't be discouraged myself because I know this day's for real. And what happened was, so they head on back, and who comes? This is Mary Magdalene, the least of the least of all people. You would never think too much of this person. Had seven demons in her. She comes to the tomb, and she looks in. She weeps. She sits down by the tomb. She weeps. And she sees somebody. Who is it? It's a gardener, she thinks. So she says to herself, oh, do you know what they did with my Lord's body? And Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing from the other Gospels, and Jesus says, Mary, Mary. Now put your name in where I said Mary. And she weep, and she was overjoyed, and she put her arms around our Lord. And Jesus says to her, go tell the others that I have resurrected. But you need to stop because I haven't ascended to my Father yet. Because he had business to do. He was there, remember, for 40 days. He had witnessed to 500 people at one time. This is real. So she goes back. They still don't believe her. You know, you're just a woman. I don't believe. Prejudice is very real today. I think a lot of the prejudice that's going around, the political and media prejudice, is fabricated to start a division here in our country. But there's a lot of false prejudice. Most people aren't. Most people aren't. Because they understand the hurt it causes. So, says here, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, Son of Man, you must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day and rose again. And they thought, well, yeah, right, he's talking about the temple. No, he's talking about his body. There's resurrection everywhere through the New Testament. The Old Testament speaks of resurrection. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre. And he told these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Verse 10, Mary Magdalene and Jonah and Mary the mother of Jesus and the other women that were with him, which told these things unto the apostles. Do you realize under Jewish law in Deuteronomy, you had to have two or three witnesses? We were in a court case, you'd have to have at least two or three witnesses agree on the same story. You have four different gospels. You tell it different ways, but it's all lines up. It makes sense. No, it wasn't just one or two angels. It was two the whole time. One was just doing the talking. If you do the parallelisms there, you can't find any contradictions in the Bible. I would challenge anybody to do that. If you challenge yourself, break open your books at home Study the Word of God. Verse 11 says this, and their words seemed to be idle tales. And that meant when all these women got back, they still didn't believe it. It wasn't until, if you look in John's Gospel, it gives you a good picture of how foolish the guys looked. You know, as I kid around, I said, you know, guys drool and women rule. You know, just kidding around. But, you know, at this time, the guys were just wrong. They were all wrong. Verse 19 in John chapter 20 says this, in the same day of that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, or disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be still unto you. In other words, it was the evening hour of that very first day. And you realize that Jews did not count the days like Monday. You know, our whole calendar, every day of the week, is named after pagan gods. Did you know that? But how the Jews, what some people don't know, would just call Sunday day one. And, you know, Monday day two. And they go by that, day one through day seven to what? The Sabbath. That's where it start a new day, which in their thinking, Saturday was the Sabbath. So, you know, we go on with that. So it was day one. It was evening time. They were all scared because they didn't believe the women. And they were like, oh my, what are we going to do? I'm sure we've all been there before, because our faith was not working. Our fear was in full throttle. And man, we were petrified. But you know what? The Lord says, peace, peace. God gives us peace, because no matter what the enemy does, harass us, intimidate us, try to scare us, we're okay as long as we're living right for the Lord. And I believe the times are coming around the corner where they're going to come after us. I really do. I things are just not looking good in this world. And when they do, they usually call on the Christians to be their whipping boys. They used to take servants out a long time ago in the kingly days and used to whip their servants when they were angry. Call them whipping boys on the post. That's how you got the term. They made Jesus their whipping boy. But you know what? Oh, Pilate, when he was there and he passed judgment, and somebody said to him, fear not who you delivered into Jesus' hand, but those who made you deliver Jesus. So it was the Sanhedrin. One day in judgment day, I would not want to be in their shoes. They knew the truth. They tasted of it. They didn't like it, and they spat it out. And they trampled all over the blood of Christ, like it says in Hebrews chapter 6. We were talking about that in Sunday school, about those who tasted the good gift. Yes, they did. But they rejected it. They apostatized. They apostatized. And we see a lot more of that in these end times we're living in. More and more this is happening. And we need to be praying more and more. Thank God we are. Thank God. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you. So as it was then, they were afraid in the room as I'm closing this up. When he had said so, shewed them his hands as Jesus appears before him. And his disciples, glad they saw the Lord. They were excited. But you always have somebody who has a doubt. In a crowd of people, there's always one person. And God knows, because I don't know, we all look the same, right? And that was Thomas. And the Lord said basically to him, he says, look, if you believe in me, stick your finger into my hand. It's like, wow. And if you still don't believe me, Thomas, take your fist and put it in my side. I'm like, ooh. And of course, Thomas did that. And he was like, my Lord, my God. I could see him just falling down at the feet of Jesus and worshiping. It's like, oh, what kind of fool have I been? I've been so fearful. I've taken my eyes off the Lord. I haven't walked by faith. And sometimes I've been that way too. I need to see God more in the real. Say, God, this is just too impossible. I can't believe you can do it. God said, believe me. Come on, get up and do something about it. So, verse 11 and 12 closing, and their words seemed to be idle tales, and they believed them not. The ladies made up the story, and arose Peter, and they ran to the sepulchre, stooping down, and beheld the linen and the clothes, laid themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. At that which was to come to pass. At that which was come to pass. Things come to pass. All things do. And for those who are hopeless in Jesus Christ today, as we go visit our families and loved ones, let's just keep in mind, by the grace of God, so are we. And I know we do. I know we do. And this is more of an encouragement, not a rebuttal here, but I have to encourage myself all the time. I need the witness. The other day, I told the board about what happened. And I was just kind of shocked, but I had to get a reality check. You know what happened the other day? You can talk to me about it if you want to, but I was innocent. And sometimes the devil can get your eyes off on things. I saw two beautiful little kids playing in the playground, and this one man just sitting there, he's just staring at me. I was walking my dog, and I was just like, something told me, why don't you go over there and say hi? And I was just like, still thinking about what happened that morning. Why don't you, and then that was it. It's like, Lord, I still got to deal with this. Sometimes God has us deal with our problems and then we can witness. But I may never have the chance again to witness to that guy and his two little kids. But I prayed afterwards and asked God for forgiveness. This is a pastor about as humble as I can get. And we all blow chances. We forget, or, we get so caught up in the world or whatever. But, I pray. I said, Lord, pray that there'll be somebody else who'll come along. Please forgive me. I had my eyes on myself. And, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. It's so very important. And I'll close with this, verse 46 in Matthew 27. This is about God's love. And, Kimberly's song last week, this came out and jumped out at me and grabbed a hold of me. Verse 46 in Matthew 27. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? She sang that song the other week. And I thought, Lord, I've got to keep my eyes on you, because he was made a perfect sacrifice that even the Father had to turn from him. Jesus is our love, our first love, and he's there for us. And all we have to do is grab his hand this morning and say, help me get through this day, Lord, because I need it. I can't make it without you. And I know we all have been there, crying, weeping, or just sitting in our cars like, Lord, I don't know what else to do. But furthermore, let me tell you this. He loves us, and we have the resurrection. And the Father had to turn away from the Son for our sins at that darkest time. And he was risen again for our sins. He could have stayed on the throne and been totally justified, but he was out to do his Father's will, as we've been going through the Gospel of John. Doing his Father's will, as we're doing his will today. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, you showed me a lot about myself this week. I wasn't too proud of myself because I failed you. But I know to you there's forgiveness through the blood. I know that I pray, we do all pray every day that people get saved. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that understands us. We're your children, and you're our Abba Father, and we thank you so much. We look back at what you did on the cross, and thank you for what you did that morning. early in the morning before the sun even came up, the wee hours of the morning. And thank you so much that you defeated death, hell, and the grave. We thank you that you're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are. And thank you so much. And pray, Lord, someone here who doesn't know you, they will come to know you. And thank you for this time that we have rejoiced. And thank you that people believed. And it's by grace we've been saved through faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.